With experience as a public speaker, author, preacher, history professor, college dean, and faculty president, Dr. Tim Holder knows a little something about leadership. As Christians, we're called to be leaders. Let's talk about what that looks like. You're listening to The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder.
Hello, listeners, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. If you're in Tennessee or West Virginia or wherever you are listening from, we are very pleased that you have chosen to take some of your valuable time and listen in. This week, as we talk about leadership, I'm going to be talking to a guy named Jeff Joslin. He produced a documentary on football coach Ken Sparks. Ken Sparks is one of the top five winningest college football coaches in history. He spent many years at Carson Newman University, located in East Tennessee. And so Jeff has an interesting perspective on him because Jeff, as a producer and an actor, okay, he's got kind of the credentials to do a documentary, but he also played football for Coach Sparks in high school and in college. And so that's a pretty cool thing. It gives him a really great perspective on the coach, I think. And it's kind of funny for me, I've been doing this show for a few months now. This is my 20th episode. So I've had an opportunity to interview a bunch of different people. And if you were to ask me before I started, hey, are you going to do football coaches because it's a show on leadership? I would have said, absolutely. And I would have thought that that would have been like one of my first, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 interviews that I would do would probably be a coach of some kind because I love sports, but that hasn't fallen into place yet that we've had any kind of coach in. And so it's been cool for me. Last week we had an athlete, at least, not a coach, but an athlete. The Knox County, Tennessee Mayor Glenn Jacobs was on the show, and he played football and basketball and baseball, I believe, was his third sport. But he played a lot of sports, and then when he tore his knee up, he had to kind of pivot a little bit, and he wound up becoming a professional wrestler. He was known as Kane, and then he did some cool stuff, and so he was a great guest. And if you missed that interview, you can go to the WRJZ.com website and look up The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder, and you can find that episode there. But it's been cool for me to, you know, last week and now this week to have some athletes in, at least, if not coaches. And so, as I said, we're going to be talking about a coach and a leadership, from a leadership standpoint. So that's pretty cool. It's kind of a fun time of year to be talking about anything related to sports anyway. The NFL draft is coming up and Major League Baseball is in the process of starting up and the NBA playoffs are just around the corner. And so it's a fun time to be a fan. I've been to a few Carson Newman University now, football games, as an alum from there. And so that's kind of cool for me to talk about a guy who I saw coach. It's kind of a neat thing. And just the role of the coach as a leader is a pretty fascinating one. One of the things that I've talked about on the show is, it's one kind of challenge if you're a leader in a business organization and you've got employees, and it's another kind of challenge if you've got volunteers. And so that's one of the cool things about having pastors on here or like a Christian school administrator, because you've got paid people and volunteers and you've got to figure out how to manage both. And so, with a coach, you're not, unless it's a professional sport, you're not paying those players. They're not your employees, but you've got this common goal. You want to win the game. And so the dynamics of that, I think, are pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff Joslin here after we come back from the break in just a couple of minutes. And speaking of the kinds of people that I interview periodically on the show, I will invite you as listeners to reach out to me. If you've got somebody who you think, oh, this person would be a good person to interview, And as I've talked about a little bit, I interview different kinds of people. Some of my favorite people, I want to say, when it comes to interviewing, are Christian psychologists, because they can talk about the psychology of leadership and the psychology of group dynamics. And so I think they're fun to talk about. But, you know, I say that, and I think that sometimes, like, who are my favorite kinds of people to have on the show? It's kind of funny, because it seems like just about every week, whoever I'm talking to just becomes so interesting to me. And a lot of people that I've had on the show, I've had a personal connection with. And so that's always cool, because there's that friendship angle. But even somebody that I haven't met before, when I have them on the show, I kind of feel like they're my friend by the end, because we've talked about deep stuff and we've probably had a few laughs together. And so it's just, the show is something that I have really enjoyed, and I figured that I would, but I've really enjoyed it more than I even thought I would, just because these people are so interesting to me. And I actually had to catch myself several weeks ago as I realized I was using the word interesting over and over on the air, but it was true. So I love these different kinds of people that I have. But if you've got an idea, a suggestion for someone who you think, hey, this person would be good, let me know. I'll give you my email address, and so you can contact me. Let me know. It's just timothydholder@gmail.com. So if you've got a pastor or a boss, or you know some coach or athlete, business leader, whoever you got, let me know. timothydholder@gmail.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the program. And as I promised before the break, our guest today is Jeff Joslin. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Well, so introduce yourself to our audience. And before you do, I will say to the audience, so Jeff is a guy who I've gotten to know a little bit through my wife, Jill, who's an actress and producer, like Jeff is an actor and a producer. And so I thought, well, I knew some stuff about him. And so we're talking like right before we go on the air, and he's talking about doing Taekwondo and going to South Africa and being a cousin of Alan Duncan.
Yes.
Okay.
First cousin, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there's just all this stuff. So I'm asking Jeff to introduce himself, and I have no idea what he's going to tell you. Jeff, who are you and what do you do?
Well, if you look at my business card, it says producer. But I guess I've been in the industry since 2006 in the entertainment industry, so I'm an unemployed actor. and I do kind of both sides of the camera. Mm-hmm. I do directing and producing, and I started acting, but I quickly went into getting some training on doing films and things and how to do that stuff. And so I jumped in it too real quick. So.
Mm-hmm. And you say unemployed actor, but you still do quite a bit of you do several projects.
Oh yeah. It's I mean, you know, an actor, when you go do a job like on a commercial and stuff like that, you're employed for the day. Mm-hmm. And then you're unemployed,
right?
Basically. And you got to keep fighting, you know, to get
that next job.
Yeah. And then I never sat back and waited. Mm-hmm. That's why I think a lot of people that have, you know, some aspirations, they want to create things. And so mm-hmm. now, I mean, even now, good gosh, you can take your phone, it's a 4K phone, and make a movie. And so I did that early and shot a couple of feature films, micro budgets. And so that's kind of, that kind of transitions, because I saw Facing the Giants. Uh-huh. That the Kendricks brothers did, and that was in 2006, and it was, if you've seen that movie, it's a great Christian movie about a football coach that's struggling with his priorities. Mm-hmm. And then somebody helped him get his priorities right, and he started winning. And I said, well, you know, that's Ken Sparks, he's got his priorities. And he started winning. Uh-huh. And so I want to tell that story, and that's kind of early. Right. That's how we kind of started.
Okay. And so that was one of the main things I wanted to talk to you about today was you did this documentary on Ken Sparks. And I mentioned to the listeners in the last segment that Ken Sparks was a football coach who was at Carson Newman for a lot of years. He was extremely successful as a coach and as a leader and a bold witness for Christ. What do you think made Coach Sparks such a successful leader?
Well, if you see the documentary, and we'll talk about where you can see it if mm-hmm. you haven't seen it, he was a driven kid. I mean, he would go out, and there wasn't a ball field in South Knoxville where he grew up. And so he went to this guy that had some property and said, look, we need a place to have a place mm-hmm. to play football and baseball and stuff like that. So, and this guy basically said, well, how are you going to get this done. And Coach Sparks said, well, here's how we're going to get this done. This was a 12-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And so he was driven. Mm-hmm. But Ken Sparks later, you know, he was getting into trouble. He had a gang. He was involved with a gang. I think the Jokers is what they call it. Hmm. And but he ended up going to a camp with Young Life in Florida. And he came to know Christ. He being born again, mm-hmm. and then later he got involved with Little League football, coaching and things like that. And he said, "These kids listen to me, and this is what I think God wants me to do." And so he came down the aisle at his church one Sunday and gave his life to Christ. And well, he had already given Christ, but he basically committed his life to doing coaching mm-hmm. For his glory and mm-hmm. to reach people for Christ. So,
yeah. So sometimes people walk the aisle and they think, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to Christian service. So that must mean I'm going to be a pastor or I'm going to be a missionary. But here's Ken Sparks who figured out a different kind of mission field. So that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that if we're a believer, we are an ambassador for Christ. I mean, it's not an option. Mm-hmm. It's just, are we going to be obedient to it? Do we believe that people are going to die and go to hell? Or is there a heaven? Do we want people to go there? Then we need to be telling people. Mm-hmm. And that's the priority. And first of all, you know, bring glory, you know, glory to God, mm-hmm. but also to reach people for Christ, just like Christ left, you know, he left when his disciples go and make disciples mm-hmm. and feed my sheep. Are we feeding the sheep? And that's right. That's what Ken Sparks was all about. So.
Yeah, and your language was really cool to me because it's a phrase that I use a lot. As Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so really the only question is, are we trying to be good ambassadors or are we kind of mediocre at it? But just that responsibility that we have in whatever walk of life we find ourselves to be an ambassador for Christ. So you had the privilege to play for Ken Sparks as a high school student and as a college student. So you saw him like over a period of several years, more so than maybe most of his other football players. Was there something that you learned about him as a leader just from working on the documentary that you didn't know despite your exposure to him?
Well, being exposed to him at Farragut when he came in 1977, we had replaced a new coach, Neil Clabo. Coach Clabo, not Neil Clabo, his dad. And this guy was different. He just ignited people's lives, and he was always asking people. He would always ask me, "How's your heart?" Hmm. And I was kind of like, "Well, I'm fine, you know, healthy." And he always kind of almost like he was talking in parables to me a little bit. Hmm. I didn't understand what he really understood a lot, but we spent a lot of time together. He spent a lot of time with quarterbacks, and so. He was who he was and loved everybody. He didn't care if he played football or not. He would ask people's, you know, how's your heart? How you doing? You know, you're struggling here. What's going on? And I'd never seen a coach that was concerned about my spiritual journey. And he got me involved in FCA. And eventually I ended up, even though I grew up in church, right down the street from Farragut at First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And I walked the aisle at 12, but, you know, and all that stuff, but, you know, it wasn't real. But I came to know Christ through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so he ignited a lot of people in the community. They built a new stadium and got people involved in the FCA, took us to Black Mountain during the summer. And I mean, it made a huge impact in a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And then when he transitioned to Carson Newman, he was the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was always like, how's your heart? Mm-hmm. And always it dealt with, I don't care about winning. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really didn't.
Wow.
He wanted us to do the best because God in gifted us, but winning will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. You take care of what's going on in your heart, and then you, as a believer, you will give everything you've got to God, and give Him the glory, and then let the ball games take care of itself. Mm-hmm. So,
a couple of things about that strike me. One, as a coach, he's not going to be evaluated on how your heart is. He is going to be evaluated on wins and losses, and so it makes it all the more impressive that he was able to focus on something more important. Because it's so easy, you know, in any job, to be concerned about that next evaluation. How are you going to be seen? You know, your job performance is going to be measured. And so it can be tricky to put people first when that's not how you're typically going to be measured in your performance review. And it's also cool. One thing Jill and I were talking about recently is, you know, we aren't particularly competitive, she and I. We don't go through life thinking, I want to be better than this person or that person. It's really for us more about, I want to be the best version of me. And so to translate that into sports where you are specifically playing an opponent and at the end of the game, the score is going to matter to somebody. But to be able to hold on to that, I'm really just trying to give my best performance and then the wins and the losses will take care of themselves. That's cool to hold on to that perspective in that kind of pressure cooker. That's really cool to me. So you've done this this documentary, The Ken Sparks Story. Where, how can somebody view it if they want to?
Well, it was in the theaters last year, mm-hmm. and we ended up getting distribution from BMG. And so it basically launched a couple of months ago. And it's on, actually you can find it on YouTube for free. In their movie section. Mm-hmm. I know that PureFlix carries it, Christian Cinema, Salem Now. So if you've got some of these subscription places that has these platforms, mm-hmm. then you can find them on there for free or for rented or whatever. I don't know if you have to be a subscription on I can't remember on YouTube or not. I think it's on there for free, but I don't know how we're getting any revenue for all that stuff, but that's up to them.
Okay, and actually that was my next question. If somebody were thinking, you know, this sounds like it could be a good, inspiring Christian kind of documentary and I want to support this kind of work so you can do the next documentary, what would be the thing that somebody could do that would help you out the most? Is there a specific platform? Is it...
I think not really.
Okay.
You know, because PureFlix carries it, Christian Cinema, and so I don't know how they work all that stuff, mm-hmm. with the distribution. Okay. You know, we're getting some revenue from it, and a lot of this revenue that we do get, it helps with the Ken Sparks Academic Fund. That was one of the main things that we wanted to do. You know, it's not about money or revenue or anything like that. We really want to reach people for Christ through it, but also we want to help with the Ken Sparks Academic Fund, and you can do that through Carson Newman, through their giving links and things like that. So,
all right, good to know. And I will say that I'm not like the biggest documentary guy. Some people really enjoy watching them. I really don't that much. I watched the documentary on Russ Taff. I thought it was excellent. But I've seen the Ken Sparks Story twice. I saw it once in the theater at the Regal at Pinnacle. And then Jill and I watched it more recently with her parents. And it really was legitimately inspiring. And, you know, if I can watch something and I'm sitting there while it's going on and praying about my own life, because I'm inspired by what's going on there on the screen, that's pretty cool. And so it really is a great documentary.
Well, I appreciate that, Tim. It was a family affair to do this because my son did the music and my daughter-in-law did the editing, and we all got this together after I had started one about 2 months before COVID, and I was working with another producer company, and then COVID shut us down, and then through all this process, my son and daughter-in-law moved from LA to Nashville, and we were doing this transition, and she said, let's shoot something. I said, well, this is ready. It's ready to go. And so it was a family affair, and God opened the door to do it. So
that's really cool. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jeff Joslin. We'll be back right after the break, and we'll talk some more about Jeff and Coach Ken Sparks. Thank you for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Leading Edge. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for taking your valuable time to tune in. And today we've been talking with Jeff Joslin. If you were listening before the break, you know that he is a guy who played football for the coach Ken Sparks, one of the most successful college football coaches in the history of the country, and a devout believer and leader and just an inspiring guy. But before we get back to talking about Ken Sparks and talking about you, Jeff, I got to ask you a question about your cousin, Alan Duncan. He is a former missionary and he was in South Africa. And I've heard him tell this story twice about being on a roof in South Africa and a monkey stealing a pen that had some great sentimental value to Alan or something. But he never finishes the story and tells us if he got the pen back from the monkey. Do you have any idea what happened to that?
I haven't heard that story.
Okay. Well,
I've heard a lot of stories, not that one.
All right. Well, if you ever find out, let me know, and I'll share it with our listeners. Okay. So we're talking about life and leadership and football and stuff, and you are a guy who played football for a lot of years as a young man. And one of the things I talk about on this show is the whole idea of the professional pivot. Like, you're doing something for a living, and you decide you're going to transition to something totally different. And maybe it's so interesting to me because it's something that I did. I was a dean at Walter State, and I decided I want some time to do some other things that I'm excited about. I loved being a dean, but I wanted to try these other things. And so there are a lot of people who are in a job, and they're thinking, is this the time for me to change? How do I know? Do I just keep doing what I'm doing, and should I just be thankful for what I have? So were you a guy who thought, you know, maybe if things break right for me, I could be a professional football quarterback and go to the NFL? Or did you never have that dream, or did the dream shift at some point? How did all that happen?
No, it started early when I was six. I grew up with, Larry Zonka and, mm-hmm. and Bob or Greasy and all that. You know, I was a Miami
Dolphins
guy.
Yeah.
And I never liked Dallas Cowboys. but later on, I played football when I was six. I started as a lineman, but during transition, I was trying to think when I transitioned into being a quarterback. I think it was a freshman at Farragut, and because a lot of times with these football player, these younger teams, they're coached by their dads, and mm-hmm. so their sons get to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad, he helped, but some of the other guys took over a quarterback, and I didn't get to be a quarterback, I guess, until I was a freshman. And so, but early I did want to play, you know, in a NFL. And then we had some great success early at high school, mm-hmm. at Farragut. I was third string. That's the thing. That was how God's providence and all this stuff. Stan Cotton was number one. Will Garland was second, and I was third. Stan Cotton, this is when I was a junior. We had an all-senior team with Bill Bates and all these guys that were, you know, they were destined to – they had already been 10-1 the year before, 1977. And then 1978, Stan Cotton went down with a knee injury in the fall camp. And Coach Dyer, who was a coach at Tennessee, said, hey, why don't you put Jeff Joslin at quarterback? He's a little bit more, a little bit more, quicker and things like this. So we moved me to first and moved Will Garland to a wing back. Hmm. And with our Veer, I was the only junior on the all senior team. Mm-hmm. And we ended up going to the playoffs, ended up being losing in double overtime with Red Bank and Chattanooga. Next year we went 7-3, and then I ended up, it was interesting because Coach Sparks would not, he was leaving, and I didn't know where he was going. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't tell me. And that just shows you what kind of character he had. He could have easily manipulated me to go to where he was going to go, because mm-hmm. I would have gone because uh-huh. of how much it was important to me, and so he said, you need to go where God needs you to be. And so I ended up, I almost went to the Mississippi State, but because they did the wishbone with Emory Ballard, but I decided, because of the blood, the orange blood, I ended up going to Tennessee, and it was interesting because I was having a great year my freshman year, and I was going to be taken out for the next game to play in the main game against Alabama. I ended up breaking a collarbone, and so it knocked out my first year, and then I took a red shirt, and I just wasn't happy because I ended up coming to know Christ at Tennessee through FCA, mm-hmm. and I knew that I could not be under that kind of coach and grow me spiritually, because the thing about sports is either you're going to find a good coach or you're going to find a bad coach. Mm-hmm. And if a good coach can make the difference in a great team, because you lose your respect for a coach if you don't think they care about you.
Hmm.
And I wanted a coach that wanted to care for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those guys that is going to be beat down, and I don't need that.
Mm-hmm,
I want somebody that's going to push me up, because mm-hmm. I had some early issues in my life. I was sexually abused, and so Coach Sparks didn't know anything about all this stuff, but he knew that I was a broken guy, and so he knew how to bring out what I had in me, and so. I transferred to Carson Newman, and I was broken. I really was. Coach Majors broke me as an athlete. I had no confidence, and Coach Sparks had to bring me back up to bring me some confidence. And then we ended up again in 1982, went to the playoffs. And the next year in 1983, there was going to be another quarterback. Jay Andrews was going to be number one. I was number two. Well, he went down with an injury, and I ended up being number one, and so we ended up having great success with the national championship, first national championship of Carson Newman in 83, and then we won the one back to back with 1984, and then Coach Sparks ended up winning five national championships in 86, mm-hmm. 87, 89, and ended up being the fifth all-time winningest coach,
mm-hmm.
Behind Bobby Bowden and above Bear Bryant, and so it's amazing how this transition and how God's providence, how places people in certain places to make an impact, to have a platform,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of where you're at, whether it's football. I mean, Carson Newman is, their logo is athletics with a purpose. Well, mm-hmm. when I got into the entertainment industry, mine was entertainment with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just tell stories about entertainment. I just want to tell people about Christ and mm-hmm. how are we going to do that? And because it all goes back to being the ambassador,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and where God places you around people to reach people for Christ. Mm-hmm. That's all we're supposed to be doing, because that's all that matters.
Right.
And for eternity, this doesn't matter here. None of this matters.
Yeah.
And so we better be doing what we're supposed to be doing. So.
Well, and regarding all of that, the entertainment, with a purpose, you did this documentary, which is a really big thing. And so I'm wondering, the people listening to this radio show, maybe somebody out there is thinking about doing a documentary, but there are a lot of people thinking about their own something in their life that they might do. It might be going back to school. It might be anything, but it's a big thing. How long did it take from your initial, you know, I could maybe do a documentary about Ken Sparks, to opening night in Turkey Creek when the documentary is in the theater? Roughly what's that time frame we're talking?
Well, this documentary almost didn't happen because in 2018 in October, my second wife ended up having an affair. I ended up having a stroke. I lost my speech and my memory. I could have died, obviously, of a stroke, but I didn't have that physicality issue, but I lost my speech and memory. And as an actor and director, whatever, you know, you need to be able to talk.
Right, yeah.
And, look at Bruce Willis, what's going on with him right now.
Exactly.
And so during this process, I ended up moving back to Knoxville. I ended up taking a course on Udemy, which is, I don't know if anybody has seen those, but Udemy's are like video classes that you can watch, and they're very cheap. I mean, you can learn about anything. And mm-hmm. there was a documentary, how to do documentaries.
Huh.
And this guy was, he was one of the film festival award winners at Sundance.
Okay.
And he wrote, I think he wrote a documentary called Alt-Right. Crazy documentary, but it's good. I mean, it ended up winning a lot of awards, but I paid $10 to do that.
And how to
learn about it. And so I learned about how to do a documentary because I wanted to do a feature film, but it takes a lot of money, like $2 mm-hmm. or $3 million to do something like that. And so I said, well, let's do a documentary. So again, I moved back up here and talking to Carson Newman and the film director up there, professor at Carson Newman, and they said, well, they tried to do this 2 or 3 years ago, and it just didn't happen. They didn't have enough money or whatever. And I said, well, I'm going to get it done. Mm-hmm. I'll find the money, and I'll find the producers to do it, because they didn't have a lot of confidence in me because I'd never done a documentary.
Right, right.
I'd done feature films, mm-hmm. but I said, I'll find producers. I don't care. I'll find it, because this is, even my son, when we went through this process, he said, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Hmm.
This is your destiny.
How about
you want
that?
To call that. But I don't know about that. But I'm going to get it done because I wanted to honor Ken Sparks mm-hmm. about what he did, and I know the spark that happened in my life can happen in anybody's life. That if you come to know Christ and you're born again and you really buy into what we're supposed to be doing, then that spark will happen. And that spark is not Ken Sparks. It was Jesus Christ that lived in him,
mm-hmm.
and it had to come out. And it will come out, or either you're not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not coming out, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not reaching people for Christ, we better take and examine our faith
mm-hmm.
and find out what's going on in our lives. So it was interesting that through this documentary, I got regenerated, I guess, sparked again, because I saw all these guys that we interviewed. I think 33 people ended up, I think 15 people ended up on film, but hearing their stories, how in God's providence, we all were drawn to Carson Newman to be a part of something that was incredible. And it wasn't about football. It really
mm-hmm.
wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was about people changing lives. And give you an idea about this, on how important this documentary was for a lot of people. I sent this documentary out to, I think, 30-something film festivals. And because I wanted to get the name out. I wanted
mm-hmm.
the people to hear it because I knew how important it was. We went to one, to Topanga Film Festival. It's a secular film festival in California, and we were the first one that were going to be screened, and these people, they don't know Christ. I'm telling you, they don't know Christ, and so, long story short, there, the producer woman came back after she saw this. She said, "This is not about a football film. This is about changing people's lives."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm writing down right now how Coach Sparks would say, "How's your heart?" I'm mm-hmm. going to start doing that.
Wow.
And it changed her. And it's not about football. It's about changing people's lives for eternity through Christ.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. All right, you're listening to Jeff Joslin here on The Leading Edge, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, listeners, for our last segment of The Leading Edge. And I've asked our guest, Jeff Joslin, to stick around so we can talk a little bit more. It was pretty cool. Right before the break, he was talking about how he wanted to tell Ken Sparks' story because Ken Sparks was so inspiring to him. And it's also the story of Christ in Ken Sparks. And Jeff and I were talking over the break, and he was talking about how, as he sent the documentary out to these film festivals, he didn't want to just send it to Christian festivals. He wanted it to be out there. And it struck me, you know, that's really the calling for all of us, is to inspire our fellow believers. And I've talked about this when I go and do public speaking and talk about adversity and stuff. And one of the stories that I will tell is intended specifically to point people towards God. And I like that as people are listening to me in a secular environment, that the other believers who are there can be encouraged. And so for people who aren't believers, though, I can be salt and light in that environment. And so that's what this documentary can do. And so that's, you know, and really that's the calling for all of us. We're supposed to be part of this body of Christ. If we're out there being open about our faith, we can inspire other believers, but we're also fulfilling our duty as disciples, living out the Great Commission. And so I wanted to ask Jeff a couple more questions here before we go, but I want to make sure I get this in before the end of the show. Remind listeners how they can watch the Ken Sparks story, the documentary, if they're interested.
Well, a lot of people are, you know, subscribing with PureFlix. It's on there now, and Salem Now, and Epoch TV. I didn't bring that earlier, but YouTube's on there now. Christian Cinema. I think it's on Tubi. Mm-hmm. There's probably about 15 platforms that I don't even know, because BMG Global, which is our distributor, is putting it out there, and apparently it's going to be, I think, on DVD at some point. But there are, you know, I think what Freevee and there's like 15 of them. So
right, wow. So that Epoch, EPOCH.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Okay. So let's see. I've got a few questions left here. I want to see which one I want to ask in the time that we have. Is there a future project that you are excited about, or are things in the planning stages? It's too early. What do you got?
I mean, I'd love to do a feature film of It Only Takes a Spark. That would be the title, about Ken Sparks, a football film. And it would be like We Are Marshall or Remember the Titans. And I think if we told it correctly, it would be probably an incredible Christian football film. Everybody loved Facing the Giants. This would be the real story about a guy that had his priorities right and didn't care about football, and it ended up being winning, but ended up winning people, you know, for Christ. Mm-hmm. And ended up, God, you know, gave him some wins too in the process, because Ken Sparks was an incredible guy that worked us to death, but we did it not for ourselves, not for the rings, but for his glory. And it's what happens when you do things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you reach people for Christ, and then all of a sudden you get something as well that gives you a platform to say, this is why we did it.
Mm-hmm. So, one of the things Jeff talked about earlier in the show, so if you tuned in later, you might not have caught it, is he talked about Ken Sparks came in as a coach and was just so passionate. He inspired the players, and that helped bring the best out of him. And it reminded me of reading something about the Christian novelist Ted Dekker, who, before he was a novelist, went through a series of businesses, and he would go in and buy a business that was failing, And he recognized that he could inspire the workers and get them so energized that productivity would increase. And he could then sell the business and show potential buyers, hey, look at how we've kind of turned things around. And it might just be a short-term bump, but he was able to do this over and over again by inspiring the employees. He made them more productive. And so it's just, it's cool, this recurring theme of, you know, people want to be fired up about something. And so if you're passionate and you can communicate that passion to other people, people want their lives to have meaning and significance. And so it's just, it's a cool example that Ken Sparks sets of just being so passionate about life and his faith that apparently he was just this infectious personality to be around. So,
right. I mean, it's like, if you can't get excited about eternity, what's going on? Where's your purpose?
Yeah.
And if you have purpose where people are going to go for eternity with to be with Christ, then we need to find we need to examine our faith and, mm-hmm. and our purpose. Mm-hmm. What's our purpose?
Yeah, and you know, for those of us who are believers, it's not that we don't want to be people focused and passionate and sharing Christ, but it's so easy to get bogged down in, I've got to work, I've got to make the widgets and get so many done, or I'm going to be in trouble, or I've got stuff going on at home. And it's just so easy to be distracted by those things. I think it's good to be reminded to kind of reset our priorities and think about, you know, who are we in Christ? And we want our lives to be significant? Well, they are. And we've been called to this great work that matters, the work of going out and making disciples. And as you commented earlier, Jeff, you alluded to this, you know, we should be reading our Bibles. If we're not taking care of our own spiritual disciplines and getting our own selves right, then we're not going to be as effective in doing God's work. So we are coming to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you'll tune in next week. Have a great day. God bless you. Choose joy. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. You are on Joy 620 WRJZ. This has been The Leading Edge with Tim Holder. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you can tune in next week.
You've been listening to The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder. Be sure and tune in next week as we continue to talk about how to be a leader in a world of followers.